This is a sermon from the archives of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa. Our legacy project reminds you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
Our first reading this morning is the 32nd Psalm. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom God imputes no guilt, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Almighty. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with a bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust God. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you of upright heart. Our affirmation of faith is in your bulletin. Let's stand and join together in our affirmation of faith. We believe that our lives are held within the encircling love of God, who knows our names and recognizes our deepest needs. We believe that Jesus is the divine child of the living God, and that his grace is like living waters that can never be exhausted. We believe in the birthing, renewing, enabling Spirit of God, who yearns over our welfare as a mother yearns for her child. We believe that God is in the arid desert as well as in green pastures, and that hard times and disciplines are also loving gifts. We believe that our journey has a purpose and a destination, and that our path leads to a human glory we cannot yet imagine. We believe that in the church we are fellow pilgrims on the road, and that we are called to love one another as God loves us. This is our faith, and we are humbled to profess in Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Our focus scripture for the morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 11. It's Matthew's account of Jesus being tempted by the devil. Pay close attention to the words of Matthew's Gospel. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After spending 40 days and nights without food, Jesus was hungry. Then the devil came to him and said, "If you are God's son, order these stones to turn into bread." But Jesus answered, "The scripture says human beings cannot live on bread alone, but need every word that God speaks." Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem, the holy city, set him on the highest point of the temple and said to him, "If you are God's son, throw yourself down, for the scripture says, God will give orders to his angels about you. They will hold you up with their hands, so that not even your feet will be hurt on the stones." Jesus answered, "But the scripture also says, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Then the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their greatness. All this I will give to you, the devil said, if you kneel down and worship me. Then Jesus answered, Go away, Satan. The scripture says, Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil left Jesus, and angels came and helped him. These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. Sometimes I think the gospel writers make it look too easy. Take this morning's focus scripture that we just shared together. Jesus into the wilderness, 40 days, 40 nights without food, and evil, the devil, whatever you want to, and however you want to name that, tempts him. You know, turn these stones into bread. You haven't eaten for 40 days. Throw yourself down from the top of the very highest point of the temple. Worship me. I'll give you all this. And the gospel writers make it seem, you know, especially in Matthew, that Jesus just, boom, he's got an answer right away, right? It's no better in the other three gospels that we find this temptation story. Matthew gives a whole two verses to Jesus' temptation. Mark does. He says, Jesus went out, was driven into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted. Boom, the end of story. Luke, of course, as we would expect, who's a little more articulate, a little better story writer, has a little more conversation go on between the Satan and Jesus. But in all three, it leaves it pretty open that this wasn't a big struggle for Jesus. They make it look like Jesus is just putting in his time here on earth, just going through the motions, cruising through all of this, and nothing's much of a struggle for him. Temptation for Jesus? No sweat. Easy. Jesus has got the answers. Boom, boom, boom. At least that's how I read it sometimes. But I hope that wasn't the case. I hope Jesus struggled a little bit, or maybe a lot. Take a look at your bulletin cover this morning. Pam went through these, and she had another one in mind, and she found this one. Here, look at Jesus. He's looking at a rock, right? A stone. He looks kind of haggard. He looks kind of hungry after 40 days. And he looks like he might be struggling a little bit with this whole thing. He's looking at this. Well, I could. Maybe I should. I'm hungry. He's contemplating that. He's struggling with the temptation to give in to what the devil has invited him to do. It makes him more human to me because we all struggle with those same temptations, don't we? Day in, day out. I mean, yeah, we're not turning rocks into bread, but there are a whole bunch of other temptations out there that we're confronted with every day. And it can be a struggle to decide whether to give in to those things we know that we shouldn't do, but might do anyway. It makes me feel closer to Jesus, identify more with Jesus if he struggles a bit. And we have other scriptures where we hear that, we see that. His struggle with his ministry, with his fate, if you will. 5 days ago was Ash Wednesday, beginning the church season of Lent. Its primary purpose to reflect on how we live our lives, how we handle the temptations that confront us on a daily basis, how we have fallen short, how we could do better. But we all know from our life experience that resisting temptations, easier said than done, is it not? It can be a real struggle when our own wants and needs are placed, when we place them before the wants and needs of God and what we have been called to do as disciples, what we have called to be, how we have been called to live. It sounds easy, but it's not. It's a struggle, and that's what Lent is for us to struggle and reflect and renew our commitment to the God who loves us steadfastly and calls us to ministry on God's behalf. Lent is 40 days before Easter, not including Sundays. We're not in Lent today, we're just in a Sunday, and it's purposely set up that way. If you go to Easter Sunday and count back 40 days but don't count back Sundays, you'll get to Ash Wednesday. Sunday is a time to gather, to give thanks to God, to praise God, to remember that God loves us and forgives us. And we need that during Lent. It'd be a real downer, wouldn't it? We gather this morning for all of those things, to take a deep breath and gather some more strength to go back out into the world amidst all the temptations, personal and corporate, that we face. But we come here this morning to rejoice and give thanks that because of the loving, grace-granting, forgiving nature of God, we are free to keep working at it. To keep working at improving ourselves as individuals, as disciples, as the church. Thank God for the 40 days of Lent, the time for reflection. Thank God for the Sundays in Lent. We can be renewed, restarted. Rejoice in that. Give God thanks for that. Amen.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.